Our present conference is on Christ, our light in darkness. Surely one of the paradoxes of Christianity is that when Christ came into the world, so few recognized him. In fact, it seems that the ones who recognized him are either strongly for or even more strongly against him. Among the evangelists, St. John is the clearest and most outspoken on four mysteries of our faith, which will be the four aspects of our reflections in this conference. John is no one else, makes it plain that Jesus is the eternal God. Second, that this eternal God came into the world and became man. That when God came into the world rejected him. In fact, in John's vocabulary, this is almost a perfect definition of the world. Those who reject Christ. And fourth, those who accept Christ, who believe in him, are blessed marvelously by him, especially enlightened to see in a world steeped in darkness. First, let's go over each of these four mysteries of our faith so eloquently and uncompromisingly taught by the beloved disciple regarding Christ's everlasting divinity. In everything that John wrote, his gospel, his letters, and his closing book of Revelation, Jesus is the creator of the world. In John's language, through him, all things came to be. Jesus is the eternal God. From the beginning, from everlasting, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is John who records those clear, crystal clear words of the Savior. The Father and I are one. It is John again. It would be John who recalls that traumatic episode a week after Easter Sunday with the doubting Thomas. It was called by the Savior, "Thomas, come here." And then Thomas pronounced the most lucid profession of Christ's divinity. "My Lord and my God. It is John, too, who is so clear that this eternal God was truly man. It is John who recalls that Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. To weep is human. Jesus wept. It is emphatically John who from beginning to end of his gospel tells us that the world did not know him. His own people did not accept him. It is John again. It would have to be he. Well, after Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, immediately the Pharisees called a meeting. They had just witnessed the astounding spectacle of a man wrapped in a shroud. Can we say walked out of the tomb? Alive. And they dare to say, if we let him go in this way, everybody will believe in him. My God. How unbelieving can the mind become? It is John, finally, who records in his prologue that though the world as world rejected Christ, those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To all who believe in the name of him who was born of God himself. So much as a backdrop for the implications which are the main thing I wish to share with you in these reflections. On each of the four levels, we believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is the only begotten Son of God. That only begotten is important. Others may be called children of God, but they are not of the very essence of God's being. In the words of the Creed, only one is consubstantial with the Father, of the same being with the Father. Everything else, you name it, everything else depends on this primary mystery of our faith. If ever believers are not sure about how important faith in Christ's divinity is, let me tell you, Christ's enemies have no doubt. The devil knew this. He was frightened, even as he tempted Jesus. He thought to himself, if this is the Son of God, all the heresies of history, up to those in our own day, have as their one ultimate common denominator an obscuring over denial of Christ's divinity. Mohammed had no doubts. In the Quran, he calls Christians, good to hear it, he calls Christians those people, and they are to be opposed, those who claim that the Son of Mary is the Son of Allah. That's us. It is John who defined for all times who is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the one who denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What does this mean for us? First of all, thank God often for the faith we possess unworthily to believe that two words are perfect synonyms, Jesus and God. We should renew our faith in Christ's divinity often and tell him with Thomas, my Lord and my God. We further believe that Christ had a true human nature. He is true God, but he is also true man, like us in everything but sin. John's memorable phrase, the Word was made flesh, means, I just thought I'd have to stop somewhere. It means that God became incarnate, that eternity was born in time, that omnipotence became a helpless child, that omniscience became a speechless babe, that the Creator became hungry and thirsty and cold. And we must say it, in need of a mother's care. It is therefore Christ's humanity that makes him so lovable. It is his humanity that makes him so approachable. It is Christ's humanity that makes him so identifiable with ourselves. And now the hard conclusion. It is Christ's humanity that makes him so imitable. We don't have in English the corresponding word to the Latin imitandus. Jesus is not only imitable, he must be imitated. Am I clear? This is a mandate of the Incarnation. We must therefore act on what we believe. This should be the main focus of our meditation, to learn from Christ how we should act, and to obtain from Christ the grace to act as He did. John tells us that Christ was rejected. In the first century in Palestine, that's what the crucifix is all about. The symbol until the end of time of what the world did to its God when He came to dwell among us. But, and we better know what follows, Christ not only was rejected, He is rejected. In the 20th century, in one country after another, it's so easy for me to say this, but I know how much it takes to accept it. Whatever reaction we have to the widespread rejection of Christ in our day, please God, we shall not be scandalized. And if the apostles, remember, when they saw their master, on whom they had pinned their hopes, strange hopes, vain hopes, once the apostles saw what had happened to him, they stood stupefied. This can't be. We saw Him raise the widow's son from the dead. It can't be. And the same thing is happening today. What we better know, and I mean what we better know, is not only that Christ was rejected and is being rejected widely and most sadly by some of His chosen disciples. We should also know why. Christ was rejected then and is being rejected now because He demands, and I've underlined the word, total surrender of the mind and faith, and total sacrifice of the heart in love. And as the expression goes, people want to think for themselves. They don't want to let go of their intellects to believe what they cannot comprehend. And less still, do they want to let go of their hearts . Finally, in Christ's own day on earth, He was accepted. But remind ourselves that even before He came into the world, there were those who accepted him by anticipation. Like who? Oh, that's easy. Like Mary. As Augustine puts it, Mary had conceived Christ by faith long before she conceived him in the flesh, in her womb. Then we know, in fact, we even know the names of those who accepted Jesus when he came, his apostles, his disciples. But remember, not all the apostles remained true. Remember? And to say the least, not all the disciples remained true. Christ had, and he has, those who accept him and through no merit of our own, the speaker and you listeners, we accept him. But we need to reinforce our acceptance. We need to remind ourselves of the blessings that come and therefore are due to us. This is God himself promising those who accept his Son come in the flesh the power to become children of God. Meaning what? The power to love God with the simplicity of children. The power to obey God with the generosity of children. The power to trust in God with a simple, total confidence of a child. What Christ gave in his own day, he gives in our day. But, and we have to say this, all of this will come to us. I cannot explain it, but I believe it. It is nevertheless conditioned on the degree of our acceptance. Depending on how totally we abandon everything in our lives. Every day is not a clever phrase. In every way to Jesus Christ, the reward is breathtaking. A peaceful, quiet serenity, like that of a child embraced in the arms of our God. Let's close with a short prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are my God who became man out of love for me. I see all around me a world that ignores you, rejects you, and even hates you. I want to make up for this indifference and rejection by my own complete acceptance of whatever you send me, no matter how painful it may be, and my complete hope in you, no matter how dark the future may seem to be. Jesus, my Lord, my God, my love, my all, I am looking forward to seeing you in heaven because I have firmly believed in you on earth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.